The gospel for today is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Now, making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And then he told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered then what it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." But the Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." So the Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed in the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. These days, everyone is always trying to market us with something. And on the one hand, that's not bad. Commerce makes the world go round. It gives us jobs, but they're always trying to sell something to you, no matter what you do. When I call up my credit card company on the phone to see what my balance is so that I don't get too in over my head there, you know, they make you push all those buttons, and when I just think, okay, now I'm gonna get my balance, no, they've gotta give you one more thing. You know, just this month only, we'll give you 5% extra on every time you, I don't know what, go to the mortuary or something like that, and sign up for this deal, and then they'll give me that. You can't watch a video on the internet, can you, without having to wait for that stupid little commercial to go away. If you're lucky, it'll let you click off the ad after 5 seconds. The worst one for me is when you go to a fast food place, and especially the drive-thru. I like to go through the drive-thru quick, so I have my order all set in my mind, ready to go, because I don't want to hold up people behind me like people in front of me often do. But of course, when you get there, all of a sudden, the voice out of the box says, "Welcome to such and such. Would you like to try our new double bacon cheeseburger deluxe Philly steak burger today?" And I'm like, "What? What?" And by that time, I've forgotten all my order. Disney World is one of the best places for marketing. If you've ever been there, you go on one of these exciting rides, the adrenaline's flowing, you're all jazzed and everything. How do you get out of that ride? You go through a gift shop where you can buy t-shirts and coffee mugs and hats, all with that ride on there. This last summer when I was in sabbatical, was in London, and of course you've got to see some of these beautiful old churches there, Westminster Abbey, St. Paul's Cathedral. You go through there and see all this beautiful house of God, and on the way out, you walk through a gift shop, which is right next to a coffee shop right there in the church. And there's nothing new to that. In this gospel lesson for today, Jesus himself comes into the very temple in Jerusalem, and what does he find? He says, "It's a marketplace. You've turned it into a marketplace," and Jesus goes furious. He goes crazy. He makes a whip, and he starts beating on people. He throws over the money changers' table. Their coins are flying all over the place. There's livestock sellers there. He looses all the livestock and starts going, "Yeah," and there's livestock running all over the place. You know, right now in our church, we have a task force that is working on a church safety policy just in case of, we will know what to do in case a madman like that were to come in here and start disrupting this service. I'm hoping the ushers will tackle him and drag him out. But it's this dramatic action that Jesus is doing and people are wondering what's going on. So what's this about? The most obvious question is, why are there money changers and why are there livestock dealers in the very temple of God? Well, they served a good purpose. The Jewish people in their local communities had a synagogue where they would gather once a week, like we do in our church, and their service would be very similar here in their local synagogues. They'd have, they would sing, they would read the scripture, they would have a message, there would be prayers. But for a couple times a year, they would go to Jerusalem to the temple. There was only one temple. And there they would offer sacrifices and special worship there. And if you were coming to the temple and had to offer an animal sacrifice, would you want to drag an animal along with you and worry about taking care of it on the road and feeding it and having water for it? No, it would be a great convenience to have a place right there where you could buy it. The trouble is, you know, that is with any case where there gets to be a monopoly, there's going to be some price gouging. So all these poor people who thought they were coming to the temple to worship God and offer him a sacrifice from the bottom of their heart, they find out that they're going to have to pay double for this little lamb that they're going to buy. They know that back home they could buy that exact same lamb from Farmer Brown for half the price. And why were there money changers there? Well, the coin of the day was the Roman coin, and each one of those had a picture on it of the Caesar, the Roman emperor of the day. There was a smiling face right on there. Well, the Jews had this crazy law about you shall make no graven image, no image of a human being, no statues, no pictures of them like that, because the Jews always felt you might be tempted to worship that as an idol, and the one true God was spirit, and could have no picture of him. So, even though they used these Roman coins in everyday commerce, to bring it into the temple and to put it in the offering plate or use it to buy an animal, well, that would be blasphemy. That would be wrong. So how convenient to have someone there who would change it for you, but they knew they were getting a horrible exchange rate. And so Jesus looked at all this and said, this is not what the temple was about. What was the temple to be about? This fall we talked about we talked about the temple when we were preaching on the Old Testament, didn't we? It helped answer the question, where do we find God? The Hebrew people knew that you could find God in nature anytime. The Psalms talk about that. Oh, great things about the mountains even praise God. The trees, the field, the animals can all praise God. But the one place where they knew for certain, they believed, where God would come to meet them was in the temple. God says, I don't want you to have to be looking all around, wondering, am I here, am I there? In the temple, I am promised to be there because I want to be there with you. This is where heaven and earth come together, where I and humanity come together. And Jesus saw that these people who came there to have that experience now were being marketed to, were being gouged in their prices. And Jesus says, that's it, this is over, it's got to end. And he literally put an end to what was going on in the temple. If you couldn't use the coins there, if you didn't have any animals to sacrifice, he shut the whole place down. What an incredible thing. Because this temple that was supposed to be the joining place of God and humanity actually had become a separating place. I talked about it before. The temple was a big complex with lots of courtyards and walls around it. In the broadest courtyard, the Gentiles could come, but then there was a gate and only the Jewish women could come in. There was another gate, only the Jewish men could come in. There was another, then you came to the temple itself, only the priest could go in there. And then even in the temple, there was the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, and only the high priest could go in there a couple times a year, and he had to bring out the blessings of God. What was to unite God and us was actually putting up wall upon wall upon wall of separation. It's not a good feeling. It's not what God intended. Again, this summer when I flew out of here on an international flight, I don't know if you've been on those, but those planes are big, huge planes, and they've got at least three areas in them. And when you walk on the plane, you walk through first class. And on international flights, those seats are big and comfy and cozy. They even recline on many flights so that you can actually have a bed and sleep lying down on there. In first class, they give you the Bose over-the-ears noise-canceling speakers, you know. They give you fuzzy plush blankets for if you're going to sleep. But that's not where I was going to sit. I have to go through the curtain, and there's business class, and those are pretty nice seats, and they've got big, nice, each seat has its own TV sitting there, and they have nice big pillows for your head if you wanted to sleep. I thought, well, I'm not going to sit there either, am I? And you go through the one last curtain, and there's coach class, where you're in there like a sardine. You have your own TV screen, but it's on the back of the seat in front of you, so when the person in front of you goes back, the seat, it's right in front of your face like that. You got pillows, but they're little. You got blankets, but they're not plush, fuzzy ones. They are little, like a little piece of paper that you put over you. Now, I can't complain because I wanted that cheap flight, but I knew other people were living a lot differently than I did. That may be fine in a flight, but God did not want that kind of segregation in his temple. He wanted his temple to be a place where everybody had instant access. So Jesus says, I'm putting that to an end because the purpose of the temple is no longer being fulfilled. But then Jesus was coming to realize something different in his life. He was coming to realize that no building was going to be able to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. Only a relationship with his heavenly Father was going to bring him in touch with the God that he loved and the God he knew who loved us so much. It was only a relationship, and a building was never going to be able to do that. And Jesus was experiencing that for himself. Once again this summer, I walked through those big churches in London. I love to walk through Gothic cathedrals. Those huge arches, they just go up forever. Those beautiful stained glass windows and the light just comes shining through them. And those the perspective on those makes it look like those churches go on for about a half a mile in front of you. I love going in there, but I've thought about this. The feeling I get when I walk in one of those is that I'm about this big, and I'm kind of overwhelmed by the grandeur. The beauty of it, it fills me with awe, and it's an incredible feeling. But you know, never once when I walked in one of those grand churches did I feel loved. A building cannot make you feel loved. Only a relationship can. And Jesus knew that. He wanted nothing less than that for us. So even at the end of his life, he gathered his disciples and he said, look, I'm going to go away. And that's a good thing. Because just as a building can distract you from the real relationship with God, even me walking around on first century Palestine might even distract you from your primary relationship with God. So it's good that I go away, because right away I'm going to send back to you my spirit, which is also God's spirit, because the Father and I are one. And from now on, you will be able personally to experience the dwelling place of God. Where is God's Spirit going to be dwelling? It's right in here, in your heart, in your spirit, in your life. The Apostle Paul spelled it out. He said, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We've gotten off on the moralism of that, that you're supposed to keep pure and all that. That's fine, but that misses the most basic point. You, in your ordinary flesh and blood, just as Jesus was, is the place where heaven and earth meets, where God is intimately present. And when we dare to believe that, when we dare to live that, we become something on this earth which no building can ever be, the very presence of God. Amen. Please stand as we sing our next hymn.